You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and fleet services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Cast and sports entertainment is Brad, the Dad, and Father Greg, the Smack Daddies.
Hello, friends, and welcome to your SmackDown review for The Hub. I am Brad the Dad, and running shotgun with me is my tag team partner, Greg Father Feltham.
Bless you, my son.
And Greg is wearing his Bulldog shirt.
That's right. Bulldogs, big game tonight. Playoffs are here, so.
Are they playing somebody that we should be aware of?
They're playing Texas Longhorns.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and their playoff game tonight is against Texas, so I will not be home, I don't think, during the Georgia game tonight. So I, the game starts at local time here. It's 5 o'clock. So I will be en route to the Thunderbirds for their season opener tonight at 6 local time. So I will be doing my best to follow along.
And how did the tournament go up in lovely Berwick, Nova Scotia, which, by the way, is three exits past nowhere?
The tournament was, it's still ongoing. They play their third game today. They will not be moving on into the semis tomorrow. Was a loss and a tie last night, but I too did not get into late last night, Brad. We pulled in here about 11:30, I think, is when we got home, because it's been an hour and a half drive. And I was texting with a mutual friend of ours last night, I said, you know, while Berwick is the Apple capital of Canada, I believe, or it's the Apple capital of Nova Scotia. It's one of the two, regardless. But Berwick is so small that their Tim Hortons is one that doesn't have a drive-through. So you actually have to get out of your car, get your fat ass out of your car, go inside to get your tea or your coffee or whatever, and try not to slip and fall on the sidewalk because it's snowing and freezing ice and all that stuff all over the sidewalk. So like, you're taking your life into your own hands just to warm up.
Yeah, it's one of those weird situations in Nova Scotia where we got rain in the Halifax metro area, but the moment you left the microclimate that is Halifax, warmed by the harbor, you got into the insanity that was everything else.
We thought it was going to be a lot more difficult coming home last night. We were expecting a lot more, you know, snow and snow accumulation on the road. Surprisingly, it wasn't. But going down yesterday morning, it was, you know, wet, and it was like a wet snow type thing on the way down, which was okay and fine and good. But everything was clear last night, and it was like high level snow, but it wasn't accumulating. It's funny, my wife on the way back, you throw the high beams on in the car and it's like you've hit hyperdrive. though, but it wasn't going anywhere. It wasn't really landing and sticking. So, yeah.
Shout out to the new Star Wars series that started on Disney Plus, the Skeleton Crew. Highly recommend for those Star Wars nerds out there. Also, I would say anybody our age who grew up watching things like The Goonies, because it's got a real Goonies vibe to it.
Got a Goonies vibe to it? Okay. All right.
So
okay,
Goonies meets Star Wars, which I really like. I went to a teacher party last night, Greg.
Yes, you did. I got a text telling me that you were going to a party last night. How was said party?
A drunken escapade for everyone but Brad.
Fair.
I was driving, so there were a bunch of people there that like live in buildings nearby or were close by, and it was lots of fun. I saw a few of them. We brought the karaoke machine. They started karaokeing after about three or four drinks. It was hilarious.
Oh, and
it's one of those old karaoke machines that's supposed to have a CD player in it, but we just tech it. So it's like, okay, we're going to play Netflix or YouTube on the TV and put the music, and there's lots of karaoke's on YouTube, and they just use that as amplification. So they were just singing somewhat on beat, somewhat in tune, but everybody was drinking, so it didn't really matter. I was the DD, so I had lots of fun. I heard funny teacher stories. The highlight of the day, though, this teacher. Now, you have to imagine, this is the, we are in our era right now, we're of inclusivity and acceptance, but there's this kid, apparently, and he's just a little shit. And he's that way because, you know, people say, his mom basically says, oh, he can do nothing wrong, blah, blah, blah. We all can imagine this parent in our head.
Sure.
So what would you expect? You're a son of a teacher. What would you say? Yeah. What do you expect your mom to do during parent teacher night?
Parent teacher night. I wouldn't even be able to tell you anymore, but I would expect that this would have been a very lively parent teacher conversation.
This was a very lively parent teacher conversation to the point the VP knew it was going to happen and said, I can come and help. And like, no, I got this. So this person who is known as the staff fixer, like this is the kind of guy that would take you to the train station. If you can get my Yellowstone reference, he would off somebody. He would be our hitman. He could be our fixer, Greg, if we ever have problems, if you're getting my drift. These parents sit down and he just says, you know what? They're like, well, this kid's, you know, it can't be his fault. And then he just lights into them saying, no, your kid's literally the worst student I've ever taught. He is going nowhere in life. You have this vision of him going to university. I'm praying that he doesn't end up in jail someday. And the parents get upset and go to leave. And he continues the conversation by following them out of the gym, telling them that their kid is not going anywhere in life.
Oh, that's funny. That's real funny.
It's like, dude, how do you get away with that? But on the other hand, I guess it's factual. This kid, and, you know, you kind of hope that the parents go like we all had those friends in junior high that were like nothing but trouble. And sometimes you need that. I have a friend who I still see occasionally. His name's Joey. He had a little run in with the law around 14 years old, where he was someplace with some of his cousins who some of them are legitimately in jail. And he just kind of got thrown into the mix. He ended up being, nothing came of it for him, but he was scared straight after that. He didn't hang out with that crew anymore. And Joey is our age and semi-retired because he worked in offshore doing welding, underwater welding, a job where you can only work an hour or so a day because you can't be down that deep for too long. And he made so much money that as a welder, he is semi-retired. He just kind of, and a plumber, he just frigs around now. I joke all the time, like, dude, when do you work? When I need a truck or my wife wants something.
Well, I don't think I've talked to you about this, but Brad, I need to know because we are in the holiday season up to this point. Have you been Whamageddoned yet?
Last night, dude.
Oh, no. You got Whamageddoned last night at this party.
The second song on the playlist was the Whamageddon song.
So I'll tell you, I got nervous yesterday. As I said earlier, you know, we were down at this hockey tournament. So our game was early in the day. We had an 11 o'clock game. So we had, we picked up McBreakfast on the way down, which is always, you know, popular. So we have our game, and then after a game, we're like, okay, well, we're not hungry yet, so what are we going to do? So we go, we run to Bargain Hardly's and pick up some stuff there. We go across the street to the pie shop. These are the big things you do in Berwick, Nova Scotia, by the way, if anyone's listening. And then my wife decided she wanted to go to Frenchie's, so I drive her, you know, two towns over to the nice big Frenchie's. And while we're there, you know, I you know, filled up the car.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
And trying to do this, and we're now pushing like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We're into the prime lupper hours, part lunch, part supper, lupper. And we're like, well, what the hell do we do? Like, we don't know what we're going to do. So what did we end up deciding to do, Brad? We decided to dig deep and go. And my wife's like, I don't want like a burger in a fast food drive-through place. She's like, I want to go in somewhere. I want to sit down. So what did we do? Decided, see if this will come through. On the green screen, I doubt it.
Yeah, there it is.
There it is. There it is. If you're Canadian, you know what this is.
Lindor chocolates, Greg.
Because where did we go?
Swiss LA, baby.
That's right. We hit up our Festa special, and I go into to Swiss LA, and I said, all right, this is the end. This is where they get me. And I'm sat down at the table, and I'm like, oh, God, it's over. It's over. And then I hear the beat of the familiar beat of Last Christmas. I'm like, oh, it's over. And then I hear the lyrics. I'm like, it's not right. I got a reprieve. I didn't get the Wham version.
Oh, yeah. Which version, Greg?
I don't remember. I looked it up on my phone yesterday, but it was a singer I'd never heard of. But I was like, okay, cool. This, I survived it. So yeah, I survived Whamageddon yesterday.
Yeah, it's a game for those who don't play. You play, you listen to radio and hangout places, and you're out when you hear the Wham version of Last Christmas.
Yeah, so survive that, then get back to the hockey arena, to which we had, as I can best describe it, I think the fans in the stands were looking to create their own brawl for it all, as we ended up having police come, and yeah, it was a fun time had by some. Which I was able just to sit back, and my kid, who is across the way from me, just sends me an emoji. That's all he sent me, and it's that bucket of popcorn emoji. And I'm like, yep. And I'm just nodding to him, yep.
It's Berwick, dude. Like, there's nothing to do in Berwick. So the fact that there's a fight on seems right to me, Gregory.
Oh, it gets even better because it's Dartmouth parents in it. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so yeah. I know you spent your adolescent in beautiful Newfoundland, and you've now settled in lovely Nova Scotia. I will tell you, in all honesty, the most conflict in my life was in high school. And I went to a high school where there were race riots, like actual 100 people brawls on fields. We're at Cole Harbour Place, Auburn High School versus Cole Harbour High. Hockey games, the fights were, there were more fights in the crowd than there were on the ice. The players, like, they all kind of played together because there was at that point just Dartmouth and Cole Harbour. Most of those kids were from Cole Harbour, so they played on the Cole Harbour Red Wings together. So they all knew each other. They just happened to be on two teams because two high schools. But man, the high school fights. So the fact that you have trashy parents who are about our age, who probably were in high school around the time I was there, who got into a fight over, is this your son's like U14 hockey?
U15, yep.
Yeah, so U15 brawl.
U15 high school hockey, yeah. It's, yeah, it is what it is. But yeah, that was my night last night. So we left down there, I don't know, like 10 o'clock. And, I texted you, I think it was 20 past 10, I think, was when we were getting ready to leave down there, maybe. got home here at 11:30.
And then you started some
acting. You worked it, right?
Yeah.
No, it was 9:40 when I left in there, because I was like, oh, Brad is probably just starting SmackDown now, forgetting that you were out. I remember now. Yeah, it was just after 9:40. I'm like, oh, that's Brad's starting SmackDown time.
It usually is, but I ended up starting SmackDown at midnight, and then I watched until I started dozing, and then I woke up and watched the rest this morning. But yeah, it was, my gosh, Greg, this was actually, I think the curse is over. We had a good episode of SmackDown because they have something to build to.
Before we start, let's talk about this. This is episode 1,320 of Friday Night SmackDown, live from the Target Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And Brad, before we get going, let's start with the episode name for tonight's show.
I feel okay. Here we go, Greg. What is our episode name?
Our episode name tonight is Shorties and Low Blows.
Shorties and Low Blows. That's a great name, Greg, given the throwbacks and the callbacks for this one.
Yeah. So, all right, Brad, let's kick tonight off.
Okay. Recap one. Survivor Series highlights almost a week later. At this point, if you don't know what happened at Survivor Series, I can't help you.
No.
Overall, Greg, thoughts on the show? Were there highs? There are definitely highs and lows. How do you feel about the show?
Survivor Series, the only thing I saw that I actually watched was the men's match. I did not get a chance to get back and watch the other stuff. I was able to see the highlights on this. Overall, Survivor Series to me felt like a big nothing burger, if I'm being 100% honest, because there was nothing really special on it. And I hate to say that with two War Games matches and a title change, but like it was no different. Like there was no draw. There was no allure. Like, you expected something big to happen in that show with the Paul Heyman, CM Punk, whatever we were going to get. And we got a whole lot of nothing. So to me, yeah, it was a nothing burger.
I enjoyed the show. I got to be honest with you. That was probably I sat down, watched it live. A couple times I paused and like let the player catch up. But it was one of those things where the women's match had some messy spots, but the men's match had a great story. And that's all I was there for the Bloodline story. So everything else to me was like, that was the cake. Everything else was the icing. And the icing had it was an amateur cake decorator, the same way like when I decorate a cake. That had its spots that were great. There were some other things you were like, eh. But yeah, I mean, it's the problem is that they are building towards like too many things at once right now. The Netflix drop and the Saturday night's main event, which is going to be a bigger show, I think, even than War Games was.
Here's the thing that I look back on. I'm trying to look back at this objectively, but we've had some overseas shows this year that blow Survivor Series out of the water.
Oh yeah. And where every match top to bottom was a highlight reel match. And there was too much sloppy stuff in there. So what you're saying is like, we've had a lot of eights and nines, and this was a solid seven show, maybe a six. And that's the problem, because you're grading it on that scale. This was WWE 3 years ago. That would have been a blowaway show.
100%. Yeah. But to me, this was a good effort. It was a solid C effort on this show. But yeah, is it one that I'm going to really go back and want to read? Well, it tells you about the level of engagement or involvement that I haven't even gone back to go and watch the matches that I haven't seen, because I see no real need or draw for it.
So a week later, they start going over the injuries. I mean, you could tell Jimmy. I mean, this injury was broke, you know, jokingly people have heard some say the injury was broken by ace reporter Jey Uso. Jimmy broke his toe on his dive off the top. So not surprising. The one that was surprising in the injury report was Tama Tonga, who tore his bicep.
Yeah.
And they credited the CM Punk beating on his thing. I don't know if that was it or if it was something else. Tama, that's a big one, because
Tongaloa.
Was it Tangaloa, not Tama Tonga?
Yeah, it's Tangaloa suffered torn bicep.
Tongaloa. Okay. Well, on the other hand, it's Tongaloa. So, And then Bronson Reed destroyed his foot.
Yeah.
When yeah. You could see that right from that moment he landed. He never got back up.
No.
And he struggled to get to the corner. And by some miracle,
you can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and fleet services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
They didn't lose the Samoan werewolf, Jacob Fatu, because I would have sworn that was the first one I saw during that match.
Yeah, and the Bronson Reed spot allegedly was supposed to have eliminated him from the match anyway. They were supposed to take him out of the match. So, I mean, it's not like that they had to go and change anything because of Reed's injury there. But yeah, I mean, it's terrible with his broken foot. And I think they said that he broke his ankle too or something. It's like, I do not expect to see Bronson Reed for a long time. Like, that's going to need a lot of time to fix up, unfortunately. But yeah, I thought for sure as well that Samoan Werewolf ended up doing something to his knee. But Fatu, he was good at selling there. So that's great. And this is not the first time he's caught us either with selling.
Oh, no. And it's there. I like how they tried to rehab them here because they don't have Roman. And without Jimmy, there's no bloodline on this show. So I thought that was what they did just straight off to this by having them. I mean, we saw a rare sighting. Can you imagine you got your ticket to SmackDown tonight and your Apollo Crews? And it's like, what am I going to do today, boss? You're going to get kicked in the face.
Yep. You know what? This is actually the best use of these arrival shots that WWE has done yet.
Well, and now it makes those arrival shots really smart. They can't do this every week, Greg. But if they did this once in every 8-10 weeks, this is brilliant. So the wrestlers are arriving and the Bloodline swarm them. They kick poor Apollo Crews' head off and then they beat up security. And they look like a threat again.
Yep.
Rehab successfully done. Yep. So we start the show with Cody Rhodes, and he comes out to cut a promo. This is your hype promo. This is a double taping, though. I could tell from watching this is definitely a double taping, right?
I don't think so.
Okay, Crack Research team's going to check into it. It feels like it was a double taping, Greg. Because I think that I know there's a ton of them this month. And this one could have been, if you would have told me this was a double taping, there's just a ton of wrestlers here.
I don't see why it would be a double taping at this point, because they've got the essentially PLX week, right? So.
But they did it last week with the Survivor Series. They're like trying to get the guys only to work once a week.
Well, I think last week was because of the holiday and stuff, right? So, like the Thanksgiving holiday. But yeah, next week is live in Hartford, Connecticut.
Okay. There's a few of them that are double tapings this month. They did a few extra ones to give the guys some time off. So, I don't know if there's any more till between here and there. I did hear them say that that SmackDown starts on Netflix on the 3rd, which is very important here because in Canada, I was like, "Uh-oh, where are we going to watch this if it's not on Netflix?"
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure.
So Cody's out. He starts talking about how he wants to get his hands on Kevin Owens. It's Saturday night's main event. It's really hard with this because I keep wanting to call it Sunday night's main event.
I know.
That'll be what our review show is called when we do it on Sunday morning after the watching Saturday night's main event.
Yes.
Chad Gable comes out and he's talking about how great he is. He's the greatest athlete that came out of Minnesota. The crowd's like, "Yay, Chad!" And then he quickly talks about the transfer window and how they're going to realign the rosters. Basically, cough, cough, Roman Reigns is going to Raw, cough, cough.
Yeah, it's like, not this transfer window crap again, right? It's like, what are we getting now? The cross-brand invitational shit all over? Like, no.
So Chad says that's why he left Minnesota. The crowd boos. and he looked up to Cody. He carried himself like a champion. But you're a bad friend, and that's something that you'll never be. You're a bad friend, and you remind me of Otis, which also gets a big boo. And then Chad sums up his bad friend thing. And I like how Cody draws attention to something, which is Chad is a guy who maximizes his minutes. I mean, a few years ago, you were Shorty G, and the crowd chants Shorty G, but he's like, I was Stardust. And then we get a Stardust chant. As God is my witness, I never thought we would hear a dueling chance for Shorty G and Stardust.
No, that was not on your bingo card.
So Chad cut them off and said he wants to whoop his ass, and he would if he wasn't in this nice suit. So Cody accepts the challenge. We're getting our match. Greg, this was great. This was a simple setup for a main event.
It was. That's what we had here, was this to get us to a main event tonight.
Okay, I have if Chad Gable was 6 inches taller, I had this in my notes for the end of this, but it fits in perfectly here. He was six inches taller, Greg.
Sure.
He would be world champion multiple times by now, right?
I would say it's a distinct possibility, yes.
So I hope they someday push this guy to the moon, because he's got everything. He can lead a faction, he can wrestle like a machine, and yeah, he can play both sides, heel or babyface, depending on what you needed.
Yeah.
Plucky underdog Chad Gable is a great story, and little bully Chad Gable is a great story. I hope he ends up for this. And this match later, like, spoilers, that was my favorite match of the night.
The final match?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, by far.
Wasn't even close. No. Especially considering what we got next, which was our final quarterfinals, preliminary match for the U.S. Women's Title Tournament. Tiffany Stratton, Naomi, and Electra Lopez. Electra Lopez, I was worried, because she doesn't wrestle very often, how she was going to look in this match, but she was not the problem.
Hold on. We've got a couple of things that you need to cover. First was the backstage segment between Naomi and Bianca Belair. And
oh, yes.
Stealthy.
Yes, that's right. And how they got into it and they attacked. That's right. I forgot about that part. Yes. There was the attack, Greg. They had the chat and the whatnot. And then we had the beatdown, which ended up leading to a match later where we're going to get Piper versus... oh my gosh. You just said her name.
Piper versus Bianca.
Bianca. Yeah.
And then the other news.
Okay, go ahead.
Audi Ventura will be on commentary.
That was during the entrance. I had that in the notes to start the match. I was like, and they announced Jesse's going to be in this, is going to be on commentary. I'm worried because it's been a long time since Jesse's on commentary. Like, as long as he's the third man in a three-man booth, this is fine. If he's expect to be the color guy on his own, this is a bad idea.
Yeah, he's going to be the third man, right? He's going to be the, that's what we're going to get here. And I would expect nothing more than that.
Okay, I do have one that I want, though, now. Michael Cole, Pat McAfee, Jesse Ventura. Let's go.
Might happen. Again, college football's come to an end real soon.
And he's already been announced to come back to commentary. So I don't know how they're going to shuffle the commentary teams, but that's what I want. I want Michael, I want Pat, I want Jesse. And Jesse can be full heel, and Pat can be his lovable babyface self, and we're good.
Yeah. Yep.
I like how Greg's avoiding talking about Tiffany Stratton, Naomi, and Electra Lopez.
Not avoiding at all.
Why would you not want to avoid this? Again, I thought Electra would be the problem, but it was Naomi was off this night. Like, there was something wrong.
So before we even get to the match, right, this is where they come out. Of course, they announced Tiffy from Minnesota, from her home state. Tiffy, who's playing the heel, but is also playing the hometown hero in this one, right? She's wearing those Vikings colors coming out to this match. And you're just like, okay, well, what are we doing here, right? Like, is Tiffy being like the heel here? Is Tiffy playing face tonight? Like, what are we going to get out of this? Are we going to get the crowd cheering for Tiffy? Are we going to get a Shorty 2.0 here? I don't know what we were going to get. So I was intrigued from this right off the bat.
Yes. So what we got was the heel was Elektra, the traditional face is Naomi, and the tweener is Tiffany Stratton, who can do heely things, but the crowd's still going to love her.
But usually she's flipping when she's doing the heely stuff or landing on the heelys.
You weren't wrong. And she did a lot of that flippy stuff here.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and fleet services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
I really liked her handspring back elbow into the corner. Naomi comes back with a crossbody and a hesitation dropkick into the corner. Naomi tried to do something off the back of Tiffany Stratton, but almost fell and literally almost fell out of the ring. That was hard to watch, dude.
Yeah, it was.
She hits that double, like, I thought she was going for a sliced bread, but it ended up just being a stunner. It looked awful. And
yeah.
Naomi gets stomped on the apron by just before our TV break. Elektra hits a great looking spinning side slam, like a boss man slam. Tiffany sees Naomi an opening after the Blue Thunder Bomb, and Naomi ends up hitting her split leg and moonsault, but it's broken up by Tiffany from the outside coming in, springboarding in with a swanton. And she throws Naomi out of the ring and hits the prettiest moonsault ever on Elektra for the win. Great way to end the match. Tiffany wins in her hometown. And like Naomi made this match worse. And I can't believe I'm saying that, because usually I like Naomi, but she was sloppy tonight.
Yeah. So with that being said, we now have our bracket set.
So those are two matches next week. We are getting probably the semis, both matches next week. We have to, because the finals are at Saturday night's main event.
Yeah. So if we look at the brackets right now, we have Bayley versus Chelsea Green, and now Meechan versus Tiffany Stratton. So can you, in any way, shape, or form, give me some sort of reason how or why Bayley or Tiffany Stratton are going to win their matches? Because this is going to be a Chelsea Meechan final, right?
Oh, you're hilarious. It's got to be the other way. See, as soon as you said that, I was like, I think this is Bayley's title to lose, if I were guessing.
Really? I don't see that. I see Bayley and Tiffany Stratton here as going to eat pins here, because this is going to be a Chelsea Meechan final. They're the ones, honestly, who are the reason I think that WWE has pushed forward with this, because they were able to take a storyline and build on it to give the women something in the mid-card.
Yeah, you know what? You're not wrong. Okay, so if we're going with your theory, then it is the... then that's the rematch of the dumpster match, which you could use lots of highlights from to build that match. With mine, I don't see Tiffy going to the finals. I really thought it would be Meechan. But the thing about Bayley winning is that this completes her, like, she'll have held every title in WWE minus the women's IC title.
Yeah, but I don't think that there's a need for her to be the first one, right? Like, I see that happening in the future. I see Bayley, you know, at some point pulling the trigger on Bayley here. I don't see that she's the catalyst or the need here. Bayley seems to be, as bad as I hate to say this, kind of phoning it in right now. She's in that mid card, and there's nothing really to elevate her to the next level. And if she were to take this championship right now, I think it solidifies her being in that mid card.
No, and you're not wrong. So there is the only case for Bayley to win this title is that it makes the title, the first champion, be very prestigious.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I'll be curious to see what we get next week.
It's a great, like, this is why this title exists, though, is because we have enough women to fill out two different storylines on this show. And it means that you don't always need to have, like, there was no Nia Jax on this show.
And did you miss it?
Not at all. But you didn't. There's no story for her for right now. And that's what you. That was what the women's tag title should have been for. But they can't. They can't do tag team women's tag team wrestling. Also, you don't want those titles because you're just going to get hurt.
Right. Exactly.
Or not hurt and be taken off TV or whatever nonsense is going on there. So that was a great fit match. We're going to have two good women's matches next week, plus a great one on Saturday night's main event. Something happens in the back and Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford are both laid out. Nick Aldis is screaming for doctors. He's walking away and he runs into tag champs. He's like, hey man, the match is off. Like the guy, they can't wrestle. Johnny Gargano walks in and it looks like he's talked his way into a match with the machine guns. Let's put a pin in this because I think that we know who attacked them by the end of this episode.
I think I knew who attacked them at this point in this episode.
Well, who attacked them?
This 100% is going to be Ciampa.
Yes.
Right? This is 100% going to be a Ciampa thing. And you kind of could... I kind of saw that kind of with the, coming from a mile away. However, at this point, are we not getting sick of these whodunits in the backstage area? Like, the backstage area of WWE is becoming like the parking lot in NXT.
Yeah, I think you should walk around with a buddy system. And, well, just think about the people that got taken out tonight. Also, I feel like you could make a case if I was going to be very woke or, I put a different lens on this. If I was going to use some critical race theory, we had 3 African-American wrestlers assaulted in WWE's backstage area with a white authority figure.
Sure. And then you have, and then in a little bit, you'll have another one who's like our truth and talking to himself. So.
Oh yeah. And then also the, wait. And ways and Piper beat up, Bianca. This is, WWE, I mean, there's a lawsuit waiting to happen. Somebody get somebody on this.
All right, let's keep going.
Greg's like, before we get canceled, let's just keep moving. Recap 2. Who shot Jade?
After the who shot the Street Profits? Yeah, this is a great placement, guys.
You just went on that rant, and then I looked up my notes, and I was like, oh, wait, that's right here. The recap's right there. There's the ghost of he who should not be named still looms over this. And the illogical booking of a past producer is still there. Just a little bit every once in a while. These habits take a while to be broken. Bianca versus Piper. The story, before we even got into this, we hear about how Jelly Roll is the change maker of the year. And how there are WWE wrestlers in the Power Slap game, Greg. Did you know there was a Power Slap game? And did you eagerly download it on your favorite consoles?
No, at this point, I didn't even see this because I obviously fast-forwarded to this part of this.
Oh, yeah. Jelly Roll Changemaker, Power Slap. There's so many of these little things they squeeze into the show that...
At this point, I'm starting to really wonder whether or not you and I watched the same show, right? Like...
I skipped over stuff earlier. You skipped over stuff later. Listen, we definitely watched the same show because we saw Bianca. This story of this match was that she's got busted up ribs and she can't do her power spots. So this was a ton of Bianca selling and Piper just beating on her, drop kicking her in the ribs. The part where she drop kicks Piper and lands on her back and winces and then Piper just bounces off the ropes and squishes her. That was great. That sequence was just brilliant.
Yeah.
Abdominal stretch, senton. She's really attacking the ribs. We then have Bianca hit a big spine buster. And I love how she keeps trying every once in a while to do power moves. It can't. The crazy spot for me was when Bianca was sitting in the corner and she dodges the Piper cannonball into the corner, Greg. Ouch.
Yeah, ouch is right.
And Bianca then tries her alley-oop, but gets caught in a powerbomb, also an ouch. But the highlight was to finish this match. Chelsea gets up in the apron. She gets thrown into the ring, laid out, And then while Piper's on the top ropes, Bianca just goes over and snatches her, picks her up in the KOD position, and then KODs Piper onto the beautiful Chelsea Green, and everybody is squished, and Piper loses, Bianca wins. Because God.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Forbid Piper win anything.
Well, this is kind of where you start to wonder, right? Like, and you hope that nothing happened here to Chelsea, because I mean, that did not look like a fun spot.
I hope that they were able to protect her, because Greg's dream of our favorite Canadian winning
the U.S. title,
the Canadian title, it'll be retrained right away.
Oh, she could. I mean, that sucks to do it the very first thing, the U.S. title, and then rebrand it. Like, but yeah. Oh, they would have so much fun.
So, recap 3. More women's war games fallout. And we have the interaction between Naomi and Bianca in the back. You know, she's checking on her. Bianca's sorry that Naomi didn't win her match. Stupid Candace. They're going to have to deal with those women. So that is obviously building to something. And then Byron Saxton clears Piper by saying Piper was with him in the gorilla position. So one more person, they said, well, who could have done it? And there's a list. And they're going to, it's on site, Greg. It's on site. Like a fight in a hockey stands in rural Nova Scotia, it'll be on site.
Yep, that's factual at this point.
Bianca could be a parent in Cole Harbour. Or a student from Culver High in the late 90s. Inside jokes. If somebody like is listening, scrolling through this and you're listening, like, what are these idiots talking about? It's like, we're talking about the awesomeness that was.
Then this is what you get every week. What are these idiots talking about?
There you go. There's our social clip for this week. What are these idiots talking about? Another alternate episode for this one. Shinsuke comes out. Greg, I love this entrance for Shinsuke. This is. They made his music unsingable, which is exactly what you need. He's a heel.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it sucks because, like, you know, when they changed Sami Zayn's music and then switched it back, at least, okay, cool. But, like, when you get such a great song and then to change it to make it heel, it just makes it hard for me.
But it's for a purpose. He's now the Ronin Samurai with the sun. Like, it looks, his entrance, it looks so cool. And he's so cool, he can pull it off. He doesn't even get to say anything, which is smart, because that is not Shinsuke's strong suit. He is cool until he talks. LA Knight comes out. Yeah, he's going to attack, and he wants his rematch, and he wants it right now. Too bad you didn't show up in your gear, bud, because that gave away that for me that you weren't getting a match.
Yeah.
Anyways, he comes into the ring. I figured he's just going to get spit on. But Andrade comes out because, you know what? Andrade's done so much to be the number one contender.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I almost heard I could hear Angle Alert in my headphones as he comes out. I'm like, uh-oh. And it is an Angle Alert. Out comes the new Bloodline. And they take out both Andrade and LA Knight. And then you're like, are they going to get Shinsuke? Are they going to get Shinsuke? And then Shinsuke just has the mist, a little bit of the black coming out of his mouth. And it's like, okay, I'm going to. And then Shinsuke plays this perfectly. He doesn't turn his back. He sneaks out of the ring like, I don't want none of this and you don't want none of this.
It was very well played. Very well played.
And then they just beat up LA Knight and Andrade. Andrade. Is he any better off than he was in AEW? I think he's pretty much in the same spot. I think he has peaked.
So the only thing that I could say, and I don't know the status of their relationship, but maybe it's easier on him for travel once his was partner, I don't know if they're still together, is back with the company after rehabbing a torn whatever.
He, for his sake, they better be together, because the only chance he has of being pushed is Charlotte using her stroke.
Oh, man.
So many jokes. So many jokes.
We can move on.
Greg, did you acknowledge Solo at the end of the segment?
I did not, in fact. How could I acknowledge a loser from Saturday night? Like, quite frankly, like, the end of this, like, I still got my Uga Fala. And I got
my bling.
I'm like, yeah, but you lost. You lost. You lost bad, dude. You're not the tribal chief.
And you lost 2 foot soldiers, too. You ding dong.
Yeah, dumbass.
Kevin Owens cuts a promo on X. He is here. He feels like he's an idiot because he had to go all the way to Minnesota. Who wants to go to Minnesota? And he's ready to do a sit down with Michael Cole, but he wants to do it in the car in the parking lot. And I love this. Immediately, I was looking forward to this interview piece, because why would he come into the arena? He doesn't trust anybody.
Yeah. I mean, it's not wrong.
He ain't wrong. Tag team title match, DIY versus the Motor City Machine Guns. And the story of this match is Johnny Gargano going to get in line? Can Ciampa and Gargano get along? And the answer for most of this match was no, not at all.
No, they can't.
So DIY gets eaten up by the Motor City Machine Guns special, which is what I'm going to call this tag team maneuver they do at the beginning of every match. Ciampa tags in Gargano, tells him to get him, but he doesn't do the mean thing. So Ciampa immediately tags himself back in. He takes a ton of damage, including like some of the cool moves that the Motor City Machine Guns do, where he has him draped over face first on his back. They jump and stretch him over his knee, and he jumps like a double stomp on the back, then picks him up, and Ciampa gets kicked in the back of the head while eating a flatliner. Like, their tag team offense is spectacular. The Motor City Machine Guns can do no wrong when it comes to tandem, Greg.
100%. 100%.
Then one of the machine guns is on the outside. We get a tag to Gargano, and Ciampa's like, get him! And then when he just throws him back in the ring, Ciampa's all over Gargano. Why didn't you throw him into something? Why didn't you attack? And then finally, they get into each other's faces. Gargano pushes Ciampa to his butt and says, I'll do this myself, which is hilarious because their tag team's name is Do It Yourself. Ciampa rolls out of the ring. He's screaming at the announcers. He's grabbing a chair. He's throwing attention. Meanwhile, Gargano's back in the ring. He's about to eat the skull and bones. Ciampa pushes the chair, and the referee gets distracted, and Ciampa turns around and low blows.
Gargano, you mean?
Yeah, sorry. Gargano turns around, and he low blows. It's not Shelly, it's Sabin. He gets Sabin. Shelly's on the top ropes, shocked. When he goes to talk to him, he gets super kicked into next week, and DIY hits Meat in the Middle, and they win.
But I was going to say, but when he does that low blow, it's not just the low blow. It's the look on his face. It's the, if you've ever watched, and 'tis the season, right?
Yeah.
If you watch the Grinch commercial, or the Grinch show, and you see that smirk come on his face, that's the look that Johnny Gargano gave us here after he low blowed David.
This is a social post for this week, Greg. At some point, I'm going to have Johnny Gargano smiling during this image, and then have the Grinch's face come up over it and go, and just,
you're a mean one, Mr. Gargano.
Yeah, he definitely is. And DIY cheat to win. I love this. They are heels, and it fits because of, in, you know, recap four, we see them win again, Greg, and Candace comes in to celebrate with them. But, you know, I think there was a fourth person at some point that should have been in this shot.
Yeah. Wasn't there? Wait, is there? Hold on, my lights are still on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't get shut off?
No.
Okay.
Anyways, it fits. The three of them as a little heel unit, I love it. I love it to death. These guys as douchey heels, it'll work. And eventually they can have another face turn, and Gargano can redeem himself and turn face, but it doesn't really matter. Like, this, I look at who's, like, by adding the machine guns to the roster and already having the Street Profits there, you have too many face teams. You need some heels.
Yeah, my only concern here is, like, are we now just going to get these guys feuding with two guys and girl factions, right? Like, so the Street Profits, are we going to get a feud with them with...
Who are the machine guns going to pick up? They need a female.
Well, that's what I mean, right? But Legado del Fantasma, like, is it just going to be two guys and a girl all the time? Are we going to get them in intergender matches?
But on the other hand,
all them now.
They got the titles. It makes this show way more entertaining, Greg. I love this. I think Gargano's heel run with The Way is highly underrated.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree. So I'm very excited to see this next.
So we have a great, yeah, no, it's just, it, I, you're the only concern, you're right. But it does, if the machine guns can find one more, then this actually works really well to have all these mixing and matching parts. I'm hoping we get some, the one thing I am excited about the transfer portal is that we can get some people who are stuck on these two shows off. Like, if we can get Carmelo Hayes shipped out of here, this will be the greatest decision ever made.
Speaking of Carmelo Hayes,
I know we got to get through a Michael Cole interview first, though. Oh, I threw to that, but I was like, yeah. I just know I can hear it in your heart, Craig. All you want for Christmas is Carmelo Hayes on Raw.
All I want for Christmas is to get to that segment.
Michael Cole says that he's in the back. He leaves the broadcast area. He goes outside. He's cold. Owens and him. This is a master's class in improv. I don't know if I think they had a point to get to, but they definitely did not have anybody there, any way to do this.
Right.
And Owens invites him into the car. The windows are down and we have
a balmy 68 degrees.
And, Kevin Owens points at the fact that, that he was meeting out here. Cole's like, we have a nice studio set up inside, but he doesn't trust WWE anymore. Michael Cole says that he's looking he drops some incredible breadcrumbs here. Cole asks him about, you know, what have you done and how have you done it? And he says, you know, he betrayed me. He's like, I don't trust anybody in WWE. You're the biggest Cody Rhodes supporter. You're his little cheerleader, Michael Cole. And, you know, Cole asks, you know, other people have betrayed him. He's like, I expected Jimmy and Jay to side with Roman and to do this. But I did. And when it comes to Sami Zayn, I'll deal with him later. Greg, that is the big, I think, out of all of this stuff, that is the big breadcrumb coming out of this.
Yeah, agreed. Because
I hope that breadcrumb's picked up in the Royal Rumble.
I hope so, too. That'd be great.
So we have Kevin Owens basically just go off and say that everybody's against him. And finally, Michael Cole's like, you should look in the mirror. And Kevin Owens with the line of the night, what I see he in the mirror is a handsome man who's right. I can't do this recap any justice. They were riffing off each other. And Kevin Owens finally throws Michael Cole out of the car. And when Michael Cole thinks he's going to get an apology, Kevin Owens just simply raises the window on his car. That's and right. Drives away. It was great. It was the comedic timing in this was perfect, and it was really funny, but did its job. He feels that he's a justified heel who hates everybody and is going to go after his best friend and former tag team partner at some point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you not excited for a Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, a proper blood feud?
I am, but I also don't want to see it too because I like the two of them together so much. Right? I honestly think I would rather at this point see Sami Zayn turn heel with Kevin Owens.
So I think there's a case to be made that so Owens beats Zayn at Mania, and when you think Zayn is going to come back for revenge, he actually sides with Kevin Owens. And if you heard our Raw Dogs this week, and I highly recommend their show, the Raw Dogs are, you know, Eric B. and Randy C., they have a they had kind of a theory floating around a little bit that we might end up with, we're building up a third bloodline faction. So there's the bloodline with our tribal chief, Roman Reigns, and his little collection. The second mm-hmm. bloodline is the new bloodline.
Right.
But there is a third bloodline that's being built, which is the anti-bloodline, who hates both of them and basically is coming together because they can't stand what's happening. We have Drew McIntyre. We also have Kevin Owens. Yep. And we have Seth Rollins.
Oh, a group of three that really hate everyone. Dressed in black. Where have I seen that before? It'll come to me.
Greg. But yes, that I want. Yeah, they came. Maybe they were black and white. They eventually took over black and red.
They may come down from the crowd. Maybe chair shots in there. I don't know. Like, I'm just spitballing ideas here.
You're doing a Shield one. I was thinking about the NWO when they originally started. It was three guys in black and white. The Hogan.
Oh, no. I was 100% going Shield.
Well, the other thing is you could, and then if you threw a tag team into that mix or a couple of women, there's stuff to be done here. And I love the idea that this bloodline story is spilling. And it's it gives a cohesiveness that this thing is across the whole show. And if we want cohesive wrestling, that's why you watch WWE and not AEW anymore, as I'm wearing my AEW t-shirt tonight.
All right, let's get to the most important part of tonight.
Oh my gosh. So Gunther's in the back talking with Nick Aldis. Like, meanwhile, that's a match I want now because I saw Nick Aldis and Gunther together. Like, give me that right now. Just hook to my veins. I want Nick Aldis out of that suit wrestling at some point. Although I love for him, I love that his body's healing up. Carmelo Hayes then comes in. He's the number one draft pick on SmackDown. How come he is not being treated that way? Maybe Melo should be over on Raw. We all agree. But we're getting a match with Melo next week, Greg. So who is Melo wrestling next week?
This is where he turned around. He's like, yeah, see, that's how you do that. That's how you get stuff done. And there's no one next to him.
And then he looks back at Nick Aldis, and Nick Aldis is Nick left. Aldis.
It's just like, is he talking to little Jimmy at this point? Like, what the hell?
Okay, so there is the worst possible outcome for this and the best possible outcome for this. I could see two different matches coming from this. So maybe there's a third option. I'm sure we're going to get the third option because we're not getting either the ones I want. So either the ribs on us and Andrade shows up.
All right.
I want that one just for you to like lose your crap just, next week.
You're just trying to kill me here.
We're probably going to get someone like LA Knight, which would be the most logical one. Like it would be like, it'll be like Knight's way back to the title.
See, I think it's going to be someone from Monday Night Monday Night Raw.
So who do you think it's going to be from Raw?
Maybe like, I'm just going to go left field. Seth Rollins.
Oh, okay.
Like, I think it's going to be someone big and someone to knock him down. I love, as much as I hate to say it, I love, and not because I dislike Carmelo Hayes, but the Monday Night Melo thing seems really good and seems something they could market and go with. So I think that actually makes a really good sense. I love, though, that Aldis is like, I would love for you to be someone to be Adam Pearce's headache on Monday nights. Like, I think Brad, we're getting him shipped.
Wait, who is the IC title over on Raw?
IC title on Raw.
I mean, the women's title tournament is currently going on Raw, and the Raw Dogs are covering that. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I was like, I couldn't come up with it, which is terrible considering, like,
Come on. That can't be right.
Who is it?
It's Bron Breakker.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet.
Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Right, so maybe that's who's showing up because they have a long history from NXT. And that would be, and then he could go over and feud with Breaker on Raw over the title. And they've had some incredible matches in NXT in the 2.0 tie-dyed color phase. There is another one that could show up that I don't think is getting called up right away, but will be called up in the next year, that you could just have him come in and have Melo lose his crap and lose to him and eventually build up to a feud with them, which is Trip Williams from NXT.
Yeah. Yep. Possibility too. But yeah, regardless, counting down the days.
Yeah, and it's the best. I mean, we like Melo. I think we crap on his record. But he's too good to be this underutilized. Mediocre. What?
Mediocre.
Yeah, that's the problem. He should be treated like
he's too good to be this mediocre.
Yeah, he is mediocre, and he should be treated like. You think about the way they put Bron Breakker over. And Melo and him, I would put them at the same spot.
Yeah.
And except that
one guy's a champion, the other guy doesn't even have a winning record.
Does he even have a 25% winning record at this point?
I don't even,
I think he's sub 25.
I don't know, and I don't care enough to even do the math anymore.
Our main event tonight is Stardust versus Shorty G.
I tell ya. And somewhere, some way, somehow, Voldemort is just exploded into rage.
Yeah, how dare you push Shorty G this far? How dare you not? This should have been a squash match, 30 seconds.
Stardust and Shorty G? Like,
yeah, this sounds like something was main eventing main event a few years ago. Cody. Chad. Boys, the hat's off. You guys had an incredible match. And the story of this match was that this was a showcase for Chad Gable to show why he is probably, like, pound for pound, maybe the best wrestler in this company.
This was so well done on so many levels. Because this sets up Saturday night's main event so, so well, right? This is supposed to be the big tune-up match for Cody to build confidence going in. And Cody, you know, was fine in this match, right? But Carmelo Hayes, you got Carmelo on my brain now. Chad Gable, when he does, he spent so much time working on that ankle lock to the point where, you know, he pulls off the boot. How often do you see that boot pulling off now and then locking it onto his foot? And then, you know, Cody is just holding on, doing whatever he can, and you expect the champion to win this match. And I don't think anyone actually expected Chad Gable to pull out this win here. But the story of this match isn't necessarily about Chad Gable and Cody. I think that it allows us to tell a bigger story. I think in the future we could potentially come back to see another Chad Gable and Cody Rhodes match. But the bigger story here is Cody Rhodes is now has a weakness in his foot, in his ankle, because Chad Gable has capitalized on this. And then you're thinking to yourself, okay, Kevin Owens has a path forward here. Kevin Owens can now take this next week at Saturday night's main event. And this could be the way that Kevin Owens actually wins and makes that event special, because I think, honestly, if it was me and I had the pencil, I would do something huge there and have Cody Rhodes lose his title next week at that event.
I think if you want to make this much must watch show, you need something to happen. You need a big story coming out of this. You're not getting Roman Reigns.
No.
So you need something.
Do you want to go through the match and then we'll talk
about it? No, you know what? I just want to give a couple of quick highlights. The inverted superplex off the top ropes was incredible. Cody doing the Cody cutter off the top ropes in one sock foot.
Yeah.
Just go back and watch this match, because we're not going to do it justice.
Nope.
It, again, Chad Gable will be a world champion if he was 6 inches taller. But at the end of this, we have Cody ends up, Chad tries to hit a moonsault and he lands on his feet, and basically Cody pulls him back into the Cody cut, into the crossroads for the win. We have a downed Cody Rhodes standing there holding his ankle, and the camera's tight in on him the way you would expect it at the end of a match. And then all of a sudden you see like boots, and the camera pulls back just enough to see Kevin Owens there, and he just starts stomping on the wounded ankle. But eventually officials get in, Cody gets to his feet, and they just brawl everywhere.
You would swear they were in a hockey arena, right?
The best part about this is that even when they're getting sort of separated, they're just grabbing at each other. It is like a real, they made this look like a real fight. It is.
It was so well filmed at the end, right? Like they even positioned the cameraman in the crowd, like just behind the barrier, because they knew the guys were going to be fighting on that barrier. And just to get the shot as if coming in from the crowd, it was just so, so well done here.
With the fans. Was almost as if he sat in a seat in the row, Greg, and filmed it. You got fans. It was just, there was nothing. We can't do this. That's why I didn't bother going to this match. A, the match is incredible. B, it leads to an angle. And C, you're right. This sets up to be the biggest Saturday night's main event. Well, it's going to be bigger. It's going to be big, as big as it was in the 80s. Yeah. And there's a legitimate, unlike Saturday night's main event in the 80s, there's a real chance that this is going to have a title change. Saturday night's main events in the 80s were famous for storyline implications that led into things like the form of the mega powers and and things like that. But this is leading to, if Kevin Owens doesn't win this title, they've done something wrong. And it's not like he needs to keep it for long. He can lose it at Rumble.
Yeah.
Or lose it first SmackDown on USA.
Yeah. No.
Or for us Canadians on Netflix.
Yeah. But I really think that if it was me, I'd have Cody lose. And then you've got a bit of a Cody redemption storyline going into WrestleMania season. But Brad, let's go and send this home.
It's time for the SmackDown synopsis.
This is your SmackDown synopsis.
And today's SmackDown synopsis is brought to you by Huge Pop. Join our friends over on TSN, or you can catch them out here on The Hub. You can listen to them here. The longer version usually appears on The Hub. So again, last 2 weeks, we've had 2-hour episodes with long form interviews. Donnie and Jimmy do a great job with the interviews to talk about the news. They talk about all the wrestling. And you can also check them out on iHeartRadio and TSN. Greg, let's go back through this. And at the very end, we're going to do a quick 30-second, these are the 4 or 5 things you definitely need to watch. So as you're doing this recap and you're cutting things, just kind of make a mental note of things that, if you were going to make people go back and watch this, what would you actually want make them see? So do you want to keep the War Games injury report? Because I don't count that as a recap. Do we need
that? No, I think that's a digital exclusive.
That's more like a...
Yeah!
Whoa, actually, this one.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. Okay, let's start with the Bloodline attacking in the back.
That's a mid, yeah.
It's again.
Yeah.
It's okay. Cody Rhodes, Chad Gable promo segment.
Sure, we need this.
Great, Matt. It sets up the match.
Sets up the match.
Tiffany Stratton. Oh, wait, sorry. The two announcements that I skipped over the first time. What do you want to do with those things? Are those more digital exclusives?
Sorry, do you mean the Bianca, the Naomi fight backstage?
Yes.
Okay, that we can cut, but the Jesse thing we can cut too.
It's more like these were things I already knew about the Jesse thing going into this, and I didn't even watch the show. It was on Twitter.
Yeah,
I'm sure it was on Blue Sky, but I don't use Blue Sky.
Right.
Tiffany Stratton versus Naomi versus Alexa Lopez. Oh boy,
superstar.
You only superstarred that so that you didn't cut Tiffy from the episode, so Burke had something to watch.
Well, I mean, Everyone loves Tippy Time.
Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford get destroyed in the back.
Yeah, I think we can keep this.
This Rebel Heart!
Yeah, because now it's going to come out that this was DIY together taking them out, right? That's also the story from this.
Yeah.
Bianca versus Piper. What do you want to do with this?
Cut this.
Of course. Greg, this middle part of the show, as you're looking back, I'm like, wait a second. Maybe this wasn't as good as I thought it was. More in the backstage where Piper gets cleared with Saxon and that stuff.
Oh, cut.
All right. Well, then I guess it's more. I would need more negative sound effects for this episode. Shinsuke and LA Knight and Andrade and then the Bloodline wiping them out.
All this can go.
I knew you were going to do that. Greg's like, cut, cut, cut. Okay, the best part. Kevin Owens and Michael Cole doing their interview.
Oh, fantastic.
So that's
yeah.
Gotta keep it.
Yeah.
All right. So we're now gonna move to DIY versus the Motor City Machine Guns and the turn of Johnny Gargano.
100%. Let's keep this.
This Rebel Heart.
Gotta have this Rebel Heart.
I legitimately am not sure if I like that better than the Cody Shorty G match. I don't know which one I like better because I love the story in this one, but I love the story in the other one and the wrestling in the other one. So I don't know. I'm torn.
Carmelo Hayes, promo in the back.
This is being kept just for me.
This is being kept for you, so we're going to
acknowledge me.
More importantly, acknowledge Greg for keeping this. And then finally, our main event. And I'm gonna put Kevin Owens fight in there as well. Cody Rhodes, Chad Gable match and brawl that leads right from it. What are you doing?
Oh, we're keeping every minute of this.
How could we not? And so this episode of the SmackDaddies is brought to you by our t-shirt shop. You can go over there and pick up some of your favorite t-shirts. Stickers too, Greg. That was the thing I added last week. I took some of these things and turned them into stickers. So a Smack Daddy, you can get a Smack Daddy sticker. You can get I Heart Canadian Beaver as a sticker. You can get all kinds of fun things over the Smack Daddy shop. And some of the stuff is significantly reduced for my own personal amusement.
Very good. All right.
Canada Post may be on strike, but my shipping company will still send you stickers and t-shirts anywhere in the world.
Okay, well, with that, Brad, I think it's time we call this a day.
So we'll be back next week to cover the SmackDown, which is we're going to have to do that show relatively quickly because next week's show is going to bleed right into Saturday night's main event.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. Maybe that one's going to be a
digital exclusive.
Digital exclusive speed round.
All right. And then on top of that, you can get next in sequence, you can get Jimmy, story time with Jimmy. Those little gems on our Sunday night just crack me up. After that, the Raw Dogs are back. Eric B. and Randy C. will be taking you through Monday Night Raw, nearing the end of the USA Network. And you'll see probably 800 Netflix's Raw commercials.
Okay, the only thing I don't like about that is they haven't used one dun-dun, the Netflix dun-dun yet on any of them.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't make any sense. There's an iconic song. Steve Swift's going to be back. He's covering all of things NXT. We're so happy to have you back here on the network, Steve. And then, of course, Donnie and Jimmy are back with the main show on Wednesday nights. They'll be taking you through the week of wrestling and talking about all things WWE, AEW, and all points in between. And then we'll be back here again pre-Saturday night's main event. Probably some form of something between, it depends on what happens on the show, because with this not being taped, I'll be very interested to see how they use this to build up probably one of the most important shows of the year, the return of Saturday night's main event.
Yeah, we'll see.
And with that, we the ones.
The revolutionary podcast in sports entertainment. friend, the dad lets you all the lovely tales. But Friday night, SmackDown and beyond, go to the outer limits of your mind with the Smack Daddies.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.